The words of God given to us today is from Luke chapter 20, from verses 19 to 26. It is found in page 130 of the New Testament. The words are from Luke 20, verses 19 to 26. I will read the words. The teachers of the law and the chief priest looked for a way to arrest him immediately, because they knew he had spoken this parable against them, but they were afraid of the people. Keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies who pretended to be sincere. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he said, so that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. So the spies questioned him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and that you do not show partiality but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" He saw through their duplicity and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose image and the inscription are on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. He said to them, "Then give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." They were unable to trap him in what he had said there in public, and astonished by the answer, they became silent. Amen. During the final Passover of his public ministry, Jesus went into the temple of Jerusalem and declared, "My house is to be a house of prayer, and yet you have turned it into a den of thieves," and drove out the merchants from there. The high priests and the leaders, including scribes who witnessed this scene, tried to plot a way to kill Jesus, but they couldn't come up with one because people were listening to everything that Jesus was saying. And on another day, when Jesus was teaching at the temple, the high priests and the scribes, accompanied by the elders, came to question Jesus. They asked on what authority Jesus took the actions he did and who it was that gave him such authority. Jesus asked them, "Did the baptism of John come from heaven or from men?" People acknowledged John the Baptist as the prophet of God who was martyred while doing his work. And John had testified that a person who was more capable than he would come when he gave baptisms. And so acknowledging John meant acknowledging Jesus, and denying John meant denying God. And so the religious leaders could not answer either way. They reply that we do not know where John's baptism came from. Jesus then said, "I also will not tell you on whose authority I do these things." And Jesus, to the same crowd, told the parable of the evil vineyard tenants, or more accurately, the parable of the vineyard owner and his son. We looked at this parable in detail during the past 2 weeks. The religious leaders knew that the parable was told with them in mind and wanted to arrest Jesus, but they could not do so this time also because people were watching. After that, the religious leaders tried to pick an argument with Jesus again. And this is testified by the verse 20 of today's text. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he said so that they might hand him over to the power and the authority of the governor. The The religious leaders were hoping to catch Jesus. In Greek and in Korean, the word used here means watching from the sidelines. In other words, as the dictionary defines a term, it is an act of observing the other while hiding at a place that can't be seen by the other or making the other unaware of being observed. In ancient warfare, an army would hide out in a valley where the enemy had to pass. And when the enemy passed through the valley, they would roll down stones or shoot arrows at them and destroy them, keeping an eye on these enemies until they pass through a particular point in the valley is an act of such watching. And when I was young, I visited a relative who lived in the country and had a chance to see him lay traps for rabbits. He did not lay traps just anywhere in the mountain, but he followed the footprints of the rabbit and lay the trap on the path that the rabbit was likely to take. And the next day he went out to gather his traps. The religious leaders were watching Jesus like a hunter who has laid such a trap or a frame to capture a wild boar and who is watching through the trees a bit distance away to see if an animal would fall into the trap. In other words, the religious leaders were thinking of Jesus as an enemy or a game. But the religious leaders knew that they couldn't find faults with what Jesus said or how he acted, so they decided to borrow the power from the Roman government and to solve their problem. The spies the religious leaders sent pretended to be honest and good and pretended to ask questions to Jesus, not for the sake of asking, but because they really were in a dilemma and could not find a solution. They first threw sugar-coated words to Jesus. This is from verse 21. So the spies questioned him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." Actually, everything the spies said was true. Jesus always taught God's truth correctly, and he had never judged anyone by his or her appearance. So he did not judge people solely based on their appearances, and he embraced both people who seemed to have lower social status as well as those who seemed to have social status. He did not only accept a woman who had married 5 times but failed to have a sound family so that she could come to draw water only at noon when people did not go about outside, as well as Nicodemus, who was not only a member of the Sanhedrin, but was also wealthy, so that he seemed to lack nothing socially. Actually, the 12 disciples of Jesus were a group of people who could never fit together. There was Peter, a poor and an uneducated fisherman, and Judas Iscariot, who appeared to be sophisticated and bright. There was a tax collector, Matthew, who was rich but was shunned by people. And Simon the Zealot, who did not hesitate to engage in physical violence or assassination when he saw a person like Matthew. There was no one on whom Jesus gave up on or excluded. Jesus does not see what is written on our name cards or in the degree to which we own things. After the spies gave Jesus a sugar-coated compliment, they revealed their true selves and asked him a question. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Generally, taxes largely divide into 2 types, direct tax and an indirect tax. Direct tax is a type of a tax where the person responsible for the payment and the person who pays the tax is the same. Income tax, corporate income tax, and inheritance tax are some of the representative direct taxes. On the other hand, an indirect tax is a type of tax where the person who has the obligation to pay the tax is different from the person who pays the tax. Value-added tax and transportation taxes are representative examples of this kind of a tax. The reason the tax is divided into these two categories is to mitigate income disparity and to tax appropriately. The tax in today's text is a capitation tax, which is a kind of a direct tax. At the time, the Roman Empire imposed a capitation tax on men who were between the age of 14 to 65 and women who were between the age of 12 to 65. This tax was designed for the effective administration of census of the Roman colonies. At the time, the capitation tax was paid in Roman currency, denarium, which had the face of the Roman emperor on it. The Israelites considered this as an act of worship of the Roman emperor and were resentful of this practice. This was particularly true for Jews who tried to keep the scripture faithfully. Of course, a refusal to pay tax was treated as an act of rebellion in the Roman government, and the person was severely punished. And so if Jesus answered that it was right to pay the tax, then he would be considered an anti-nationalist and a person who is against the law of God. Moreover, it would mean bowing down to the power of a foreign Gentile government like the Roman government, and the kingdom of God, which Jesus preached with all his heart, would prove to be a country completely powerless in comparison to the Roman Empire. And by making such a statement, Jesus would be testifying against himself and proving that he could never be someone who was sent by God. On the other hand, if he were to answer it is not right to pay tax, he would become a criminal against the state. And it was clear that he would be dragged away by the Roman soldiers to be tortured and imprisoned or executed. So this question ensured that regardless of how Jesus answered, he would fall into a trap. But he responded to their question as follows. This is from the verses 23 to 24. He saw through their duplicity and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription are on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. The word duplicity, which is recorded in today's text, is recorded in Matthew as evil and in Mark as hypocrisy. Duplicity could be said to be the union of these two words, evil, hypocrisy. Jesus was someone who saw through the center of a person, and he surely knew that their outward appearance and their insides were different. And Jesus said for them to bring a denarius, silver coin. At the time, the face of the emperor Tiberius was etched on one side, along with the inscription, "Tiberius Caesar, the Son of God, the August One." On the other side, the icon of Livia holding an olive branch was etched on it, along with the inscription, "The Highest Priestess." And Livia was the mother of the emperor. Jesus asked them to bring one denarius, a silver coin, and asked them whose figure was on there. They answered, "Caesar." To us, This scene doesn't evoke anything, any thought in us, but Jesus is strongly criticizing the hypocrisy and the duplicity of the spies and the high priests and the scribes, the religious leaders. One denarian was a day's wage for a laborer. If we were to take today's perspective, it is said that currently in our country, a day's wage for a construction worker is 165,000 won. There is probably not many of you who have this much money in the wallet. You may respond, there's no reason to carry so much cash because there are credit cards. But did one carry such a lot of cash when credit cards were not in use? Even then, only a minority probably carried cash that equaled their daily wage in their wallet. Most people were poor and could not carry so much cash around with them. Things were probably not that different 2,000 years ago. When Jesus said to them to bring a denarian, they brought it to him immediately because it was in their pockets. And that they had a denarian silver coin in their pockets meant that they always carried it and used it. If they thought that it was an idol worship and breaking the law was law to pay tax with a silver coin that had the face of the Roman Emperor Tiberius on it, then naturally they shouldn't have used a coin. They should have said that we will make our livings by bartering for goods only. And when the bartering is not possible, we will do without or starve to death, but we will not use the coin. There would be no need for them to ask whether or not paying tax to Caesar is right or wrong. They should have said, we don't think it is right to pay tax to Caesar's, but what do you think? To the contrary, if they believed that paying the silver coin on which the face of the Roman Emperor Tiberius etched was etched as a capitation tax was a duty of a citizen and it was not breaking a law, then there would be no problem with using the silver coin and paying the tax with the coin. Then there is also no need to ask whether or not paying tax to Caesar is right or wrong. They should have asked, we believe it is right to pay taxes to Caesar. What do you think? Therefore, the fact that they were in possession of a silver coin nullified the very question they were asking Jesus, and that their question had no meaning. Jesus, after hearing them, spoke thus. This is from verse 25. He said to them, then give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Jesus is saying that one should do one's duty to the country and to God. In particular, the verb give used here has the meaning of returning or repaying the debt. So what Jesus said means pay back the debt you owe to Caesar and pay back the debt you owe to God. The spies, upon hearing Jesus, reacted as follows. This is from verse 26. They were unable to trap him in what he had said there in public, and astonished by his answer, they became silent. If I were to describe the spies' reaction in four-letter Chinese characters, it would be Yu Gu Mu An. In particular, the word astonished is mostly used to describe the reaction of people who have seen something that is like a miracle. For example, when Jesus was born, the shepherds who were in the field heard that the Savior was born from the messenger of God. They delivered the news to people, and the people were astonished. And Jesus chased away an evil spirit who stopped a person from being able to speak, and that person was able to speak. People who witnessed this were astonished. And Peter, when he heard from the women who had gone to Jesus' tomb that Jesus had lived again, ran to the tomb, and he didn't see the body of Jesus, but only the cloth that had wrapped him. Peter was astonished. And so the wise answer of Jesus came as a shock to the spies, as if they had witnessed a miracle. So they could only remain yugumuan, or speechless. I started work as an education evangelist from July of 1992. At the time, we received our living stipends after the evening service on the third Wednesday of every month. The head pastor gave the stipend in an envelope. I received the living stipend the first month, and I could hear the coins clinking against each other. If my memory is clear, 1,571 was deducted as a tax, although it was a very tiny amount, from 225,001, which was the stipend. Thereafter, I still pay taxes, and of course, every pastoral staff member pays income tax. We do so because it is the right thing to do as a citizen. And each time a good is purchased, or when there is a construction going on at the church always issues a tax statement. We do so because doing so is the duty of the church, which is an institution in Korea. And I pay the tithe and all other offerings. It is because it is my way of serving God as a citizen of the kingdom of God and confessing that everything that I have belongs to God. The people who attacked Jesus asked which one of the two they were to choose, Caesar and God. But Jesus told them it is not an either-or choice, but both must be chosen. Jesus said this not as an improvised saying to avoid a difficult situation, but because that is the correct attitude that a Christian ought to take with respect to the country and God. And all governing authorities of this world originate from God. About this, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7 testify well. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenues, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. The people who lived in Israel at the time had a lot of resentment towards the Roman government. There were even extremists who did not hesitate to commit extreme acts among them. They did not acknowledge the Roman emperor as their leader and refused to pay taxes to the Roman government. With a single focus on overturning the Roman government, they did not refrain from even violent acts. Most of the members of the Roman church who would receive the Romans from Paul were mostly Jews. Because of the relationship between Israel and Rome, they were conflicted in terms of what attitude they should have towards the Roman government. They were in a very tough spot, unable to decide. Paul wrote this letter to these people and told them, so long as the country needs it, then there are duties and responsibilities that people should perform and take on for the country. Every Christian has a dual citizenship. The first is the citizenship of the heaven, and the other is a citizenship while he or she has while on this earth. The words of the Roman chapter 13 teaches people the duties towards their country while they're living on this earth. Each person should be subject to the governing authorities. This is the basic principle. And there are three reasons for us being obedient to the governing authorities. The first is that all authorities were decided and established by God. Of course, these words have been abused numerous times by autocrats in the past. And we often think, with this king or this president, could God have established him or her? But God uses an evil leader just as he or she is the evilness of such person's character. As for the evaluation of such person, it is God who judges. God used the evilness of a Pharaoh to bring about the work of exodus of Israelites from Egypt. And he used the evilness of Judah Iscariot's greed to complete the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross. Everyone can respect a righteous and a capable leader, a humble leader, a leader who makes a nation strong. But we dislike acknowledging that a leader who is neither righteous nor capable, an arrogant leader, a leader who weakens the nation, is someone that God has established. But there is no authority who is not known to God. When Paul was writing the Romans, the emperor of Rome was Nero. He is symbolic of leaders who persecuted Christianity. Countless Christians lost their lives and their possessions because of him. Christians could no longer live on the land and had to live in underground catacombs for generations, for 250 years. Even so, Paul is telling us to respect the governing authorities. The right attitude of faith is acknowledging that whether a person looks to be a good leader or a bad leader, once a person is seated at the seat of authority, God has allowed it. The second reason that we must respect the governing authorities is for the national order. If there is no nation and no law, only the law of the fittest and the strongest will exist in this world. Therefore, no matter how bad a government may be, it is better than a no government. And no matter how bad laws may be, it is better than having no law at all. Law is something that is inconvenient for people who do not intend to keep it. But for people who wish to comply with the law, it offers protection. Commonly, about a very good person, we say, such a person is someone who can live without any law. But law is really needed for such a person. The law must protect them. In reality, a person who lives without the law is an evil person. Even if there is a law, such a person will not comply with it, and so he has no use for the law. The third reason that we must respect the governing authority is because that is our duty as citizens. All of us are indebted to our country. If a person were to take care of security, education, medicine, transportation, communication, production, and distribution, all without a nation, there would hardly be a person who can do it. The nation collects taxes paid by from the citizens and establishes basic infrastructure. And the citizen can use and enjoy them at a low cost. Therefore, paying taxes is a duty as well as a blessing. Going further, that you can pay more taxes than others is a blessing from God. And of course, the tax must be reasonable. In writing this letter, Paul did not add a qualification such as if the leader governs well. Neither did he add a condition that if the country is doing well and at peace. It is simply a command from God. In particular, those who are serving public office must not forget that God is above the nation. You must not forget that God does not govern Korea directly, but made various people, including the president, occupy the public office, and that I am one of them. And so you must govern and serve people with the heart of God. And you must act with equity. A nation should not carry out policies that make income disparity worse or that make people lose motivation to work with diligence. A nation should go down the right path of enabling people to work diligently and share the privilege that belong to them with others. All of us, as we live on this earth, are under the authority of another person or have people who are under our authority. Parents are the authority to their children, and at workplaces, a boss is the authority to his or her subordinates. If God has placed us in such a place, he has done so in order that we reveal God in such a place. If one were to abuse the power of one's position to oppress others, he or she would be judged by God. Children are under the influence of parents, and subordinates are under the influence of their boss. That God has placed me in such a position means that he is commanding me to serve right. How we serve God is shown in how we serve people. In short, we must be able to hear others say, seeing how diligent he is to his parents and at his workplace, there is no question that he is diligent towards God. We were all people who had died because of our faults and sins. And yet God has given us eternal life and allowed us to live here as citizens of our country. We owe to our Lord the debt of grace that we can never pay back in eternity. Given that we were liberated from the power of sin and death through Jesus Christ. We are also indebted to our country. We're enjoying many things that our country has done for us. If we had to do everything, then we couldn't enjoy even 1% of what we enjoy now. So we are indebted to the country for the benefits we are enjoying. If so, then as children of God and as a citizen, we are people who must pay back the debt, giving back to God what is God's and giving back to Caesar what is Caesar's. If we were to live a life of worship in which we worship with spirit and truth in the stations of our lives and pay back the debt of grace, the debt of benefits, we will always become the pathway for God's work, icons who reveal God. Let us pray. Father God, we have heard that we should pay back to Caesar what is owed to Caesar and pay back to God what is owed to God. There are numerous benefits that our country has already bestowed on us. Allow all of us to become people who do their all to meet the duties and responsibilities owed to our country. May being obedient to the authority above us become an expression of obedience to God. And may all of us become the weapon of righteousness and channel of life for people under our influence as a representative of God, and not become weapons of unrighteousness or tools of evil. In particular, if any of us occupies a public office, may we act with equity and become the pathway for a policy to raise up people. And we are indebted to you for the debt of grace that can never be paid back even in eternity. May we live a life in which we respect you, and by paying back the debt we owe to you and to other people, become the pathway of your work of grace. May we become true people of God, who purify and cast light on our society and this age. By living a life of worship in which we worship with spirit and truth in each of our stations in life, and by living a life in which we pay back the debt of grace and benefits, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.